your Bibles, turn to Joshua chapter number 22. Joshua chapter number 22. Share a few thoughts with us this morning. I'm putting the bulletin on the title of the message is the spiritual exercise, walking with Jesus. And we may, if God will give me liberty, on next Sunday to continue with spiritual exercise and overcoming the obstacle course of life. And we may continue on that for a few weeks. The Lord's put several things upon my heart with that. Joshua chapter number 22, if you found it, let's stand together. We're going to read the first six verses of Joshua 22. And while you're reading along silently as I read aloud, just remember that we're coming to the end of Joshua's life. And so Joshua 22, 23, 24, really some of the passages before this too, he's just giving his last words and reminding the people of what is to take place. Joshua 22, beginning in verse number 1. Then Joshua called the Reubenites and the Gadites and the half-tribe of Manasseh and said unto them, Ye have kept all that Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, and have obeyed my voice in all that I commanded you. Ye have not left your brethren these many days unto this day, but have kept the charge of the commandment of the Lord your God. And now the Lord your God hath given rest unto your brethren, as he promised them. Therefore now return ye, and get you into unto your tents, and unto the land of your possession, which Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you on the other side Jordan. But take diligent heed. We can see them two words there. Diligent heed. To do the commandment and the law, which Moses, the servant of the Lord, charged you. To love the Lord your God, and to walk in all his ways, and to keep his commandments, and to cleave unto him, and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul. So Joshua blessed them and sent them away, and they went unto their tents. I do love verse number 5 of the final words of command that's being given from Joshua to Reuben, Gad, and half the tribe of Manasseh. Take diligent heed to do the commandment and the law which Moses, the servant of the Lord, charged you, to love the Lord your God and to walk in all his ways. I'm going to preach this morning on walking with God, or walking with Jesus, walking with God. And just so thankful God gives us that ability and privilege to do so. Let's have a word of prayer, then you can be seated. Father, we sure do love you. Thank you for the word of God. Thank you for the example that you've given to us of your saints of old. Lord, that have just had that personal relationship with you and have walked with you. Thank you for your love to us. I pray that throughout this time, Lord, most of all, if there's one here that doesn't know you as their personal Lord and Savior, that their walk with you would begin today. And Lord, for those of us that are saved, Lord, that we'd walk a little closer. And Lord, allow nothing between you and I. Thank you for your love to us. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. We've heard the testimonies. We've heard the accolades, the spiritual accolades, may I say, of some saints that have gone on before us. It was said just this past week on Tuesday, and we were down in Kingsport, Tennessee, for that funeral of a dear lady of God. And it was said, and I'll say it, and I agree with it, she was a lady that walked with God. And we use that term, we use that to describe people's spiritual lives, but not just to describe spiritual lives, but we also use it to encourage spiritual lives. And listen, how's your walk with God? I'll walk into prison over and over, and if there's If there's one statement that I'll use to break the ice, I'm not there about the weather, I'm not there about basketball, I'm not there about football. If there's one statement that I'll ask them as I'm going through and I'm talking with a prisoner that's there, is I'll say, how's your walk with God today? And we use that in a generic sense, but can I say it's for more usage than just inside of a prison somewhere. It's for more usage than just speaking of someone who has passed on and saying they have a great walk with God. But I would ask the same question today as far as how is our walk with God? I believe a great testimony, and it can't be said any clearer than just saying that person walked with God. But can I say for some that haven't had a spiritual life for that long, they may not understand what a walk with God is all about. Sometimes we take terms for granted, and we throw terms out there, and people are saying, what in the world is that? I've never walked with God. I believe a lot of people have, but they just don't put it under that terminology. I want us to see, there's actually a couple men, and we do have it in Genesis chapter number 5, and I get jealous of Enoch and Noah. I want this to be said of my life when I come to the end of my life, but it says of Enoch in Genesis 5 and verse number 21, it says, and Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah, and Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years. And begat sons and daughters, and all the days of Enoch were 365 years, and Enoch walked with God. And he was not, for God took him. We know this is one of the two men that just supernaturally went to heaven without dying. And someone once said about Enoch that it got to the point that he so walked with God that maybe he had that relationship and he was just walking along with God one day. And God said, well, we're closer to my house than we are to your house. Why don't you just come home with me? The Bible says that Enoch walked with God and was not, for God took him. He just disappeared off the face of the earth one day. His relationship, and it was connected with the intimacy that Enoch had in his walk with God. We also know in Genesis chapter number 6, here God is preparing to destroy all flesh from off the face of the earth. And the Bible says here in verse number 9, verse number 8 of Genesis 6, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations. And Noah walked with God. Now, we know in this time period, it was not that God was physically coming down and walking upon the face of the earth as he did, and we'll look at it here in a little while, as he did with Adam and Eve. But it was a spiritual relationship that they so had with God. I've heard of modern day testimonies of this. One of them was an evangelist, a revivalist, Billy Sunday. And his wife gave the testimony after he had passed away, and Billy Sunday, he would hold meetings. There was one meeting that was held downtown New York City. And you know they could use a meeting like this once again in Manhattan, but literally went for weeks, and sometimes 2 and 3 times a day, they would pack out under the gospel tent with over 10,000 people at a time. And he would preach 2 and 3 times a day like that. With that taking place, he had a walk with God. You say, what do you mean? His wife gave the testimony that there'd be times they'd be walking down the sidewalk on the street, and they'd be carrying on a conversation between Billy and his wife. Carrying on a conversation. And she said, and then I'd stop and listen. And she said, all of a sudden, he wasn't talking to me anymore. And it had nothing to do with the conversation we were having. She said, but as I listened to him, he had then broken into a conversation of just talking with his Savior. Just as if the Lord was on the other side and walking down the street with him. And she said, I just have to wait my turn. And she said, we'd walk down the street, you'd carry on a conversation, you'd say, that's crazy. It's not as crazy as we look today driving down the road and there's no phone to our ear, but we're just talking. How do we really know that that person's got someone on the other end of the line? First time I ever saw Bluetooth was walking through an airport, and I didn't see the Bluetooth at first, and here's a man just leaned up against the wall, and he's just talking to himself. And as I get a little bit closer, I'm thinking, this man is a few freaks for I sure have. I'm not sure who he's talking about or what he's talking about. Then I get to the other side, and I see the Bluetooth, and I say, oh, he's got someone on the phone. This was before Bluetooth, before cell phones, he had a direct line with God. And just walking down the street, and walking with God, talking with God, his wife would say, I'd just wait till he got done talking with God. And he would just break right back into the conversation that he was having with me, just like he never skipped a beat. And I thought, there is a walk with God that God so desires to have with each and every one of us. But I'm fearful today that that type of walking with God is so foreign to the average Christian. You say, well, I'm not going to walk down the street talking to myself, let everybody think I'm talking to myself. Can I say, you start walking with God, and it is going to be amazing what you'll do in relation to God, that you would think people are going to think I'm crazy. We have the testimony of Noah. We have the testimony of Enoch, that had that relationship. Our text, as we read out of Joshua chapter number 22, some of the last words that Joshua has given to Reuben, Gad, and half the tribe of Manasseh. He's saying, listen, you've kept everything that Moses commanded you to do. You've kept everything that I've commanded you to do. But I want you to keep the law. But most of all, I want you to love the Lord your God and to walk in all His ways. Can I say, it's not just enough to have a salvation that talks the talk, but we better have the salvation that walks the walk. Walking with God. Spiritual exercise. Keeping His commandments. Cleaving unto Him. You say, well, what is this walking with God all about? Can I say that it ought to be the utmost desire of our heart that we wake up in the morning and we're walking with God. We go throughout the day and we're walking with God. We pillow our head at night and we're walking with God. I'm not talking about physically. You have God manifest in the flesh walking beside you. We know that doesn't take place, but we know that in our spiritual life, every moment of the day, we can be step in step with our Savior. I want to share just a few thoughts with you. First of all, walking with God, we have to accept the direction that He's going. You see, it's not so much as God walking with us as it's talking about us walking with God. I remember the times, and you've known this, you've done this, that you try to have your child by the hand, and you're trying to cross a road, you're trying to go a certain direction, and it's amazing how quick, we preached on it last week, on distractions, and I was live streaming, thank you for taking the bow tie off and not distracting during the afternoon service. I was watching last week. We talk about distractions, and it's amazing how young people, wow, they're walking with us. And listen, you've got to get a pretty good grip on a young person today. Because it seems like they'll turn tail, and before you know it, they're going a totally different direction than direction we want them to be going. I remember one time, and it was several years ago, I think Ruth was probably just about 2 years old, maybe. I remember it like it was yesterday. I was preaching a revival meeting in Roanoke, Virginia. And we were at a sleep-in right there by the, I think it's the Tanglewood Mall down in Roanoke, Virginia. Same elevator, we're up on the second floor, and she's not doing the stairs the best. I've got her by the hand. And we're walking, Brother Jim. And all of a sudden, she wants to go a different direction than the way that I'm going. And I didn't let go of her hand, and she yanked and went the other direction, and I felt something pop all the way up in her shoulder. Her shoulder came out of joint. And I thought, man, I just pulled her socket out. It came back in, by the way. Okay, she's okay. But I thought, how many times we as believers, God's got us by the hand. He'll allow us and He'll guide us. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and He delighteth in His way. And God is so desiring, saying, listen, I've got a way and a plan that is laid out for you. And we want to walk with God, but we want to walk our own direction. And then we wonder why God's not even around. Hey, God, I've been walking for 4 days. Where are you at? God's saying, I'm still walking the path that I was on. You're the one that went a different direction. Can I say, if we're going to be walking with God in our Christian life, we're going to have to accept the direction that He's going. God has a purpose. God has a plan. God has things laid out. Listen, we know, commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He'll bring it to pass. We know that He'll give us the desires of our heart. We understand all of those things. But it's us determining to walk with God, not saying, hey God, do you want to walk with me? Because many times we lay out our plan and then say, now God, would you bless what I'm fixing to do? Or maybe we could say, God, I want to be doing what you're blessing instead of getting everything backwards today. We lay out our plans, listen, and I'm all for praying for God's hand to bless it. But if God's not in it in the first place, He's not going to bless it. That's not the direction that He's going. And we're saying, well, I believe this is the will of God. We haven't prayed about it. We haven't counseled about it. We've got our way set forth. And then we're saying, God, you bless it. God, would you walk with me down my journey in life? No. How about we start walking with God through the journey that He has for us? Because most of the time we're saying, I don't like where He's taking me. I don't like what He's putting me through. We've read it for years. We've heard it quoted. The poem, The Footprints. And every one of us read down through there, and it's just like mankind to get to the end of it and start complaining because we only saw one set of footprints and saying, God, why weren't you walking with me? God was saying, it was my path. I was carrying you. I'm the one that gets you through that. And so many times, we don't accept the path that God has us on, and we want to change everything. Oh, I don't like this. I don't like that. I don't like my parents. We ain't got no choice about that. God's put us on a path. God has things laid out. If we would just accept the direction that He's going. Listen, that little girl, you talk about making a dad feel bad. I carried her down, put her and strapped her in her car seat, and she's holding her arm like this. And I'm thinking, man, I'm feeling about that big right now. But then you don't want to be without mercy and say, you know something? If you just wouldn't have pulled against the path that we were on, you wouldn't be hurting like that today. It hurt my heart. It hurt her. I'm thinking, Lord, I wonder how many times it grieves you. Because you've got a path. You've got a way. You've got a direction that you desire us for us to go. And we're the ones trying to get off it. Instead of just submitting. And saying, God, this is what you have for me. I told you before, the verse that I just quoted, the steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord. Accepting the direction that God's going. It was said this week, as we went back down to Tennessee, and can I say, once again, God reassured us, we're not living in Cleveland, Tennessee. We're exactly where God desires for us to be. There was nothing we left down there that we needed to go back for. We were reminded this week, and someone made the comment, I think it was Brother Keaton, after we sat down and we were having lunch with him one day there at the office. He said at first, he said, you often wonder the path that someone's going down. He said, can I say after 5.5 years, he said, it's just so evident. He said that you're on the exact path that God desires for you to be. And I thought, how many times we as a Christian, we don't want to accept God's will or God's way for our lives, and we'll fight against it. But then the desire of our heart, at least what we say, is, God, I want to walk with you. And God's saying, if you want to walk with me, this is the direction I'm going. Accepting the direction that He's going. Number two, I thought, if we're walking with God, we have to value His relationship over others. There was an old-time preacher that was asked one time, he said, why are you always head-butting everybody? He said, because the whole world's going the wrong direction. And he said, I'm nothing more than a fish that's swimming upstream. He said, I could turn around and go the direction that everybody else is going, and guess what? You wouldn't have one confrontation with anybody. When we start talking about walking with God, let me ask you something. You had Enoch, 365 years old was the end of his life, and God took him to heaven. You had Noah, that at 500 started building an ark. How popular do you think he was? But he was walking with God. I'm sure there were some that ridiculed him. I'm sure there were some that mocked him. You mean it's going to be what? It's going to be raining? We've never seen rain before. But God said to walk with him. And if we're going to walk with God, we're going to have to come to the point that our relationship with God is more valuable to us than our relationship with everybody else. The Bible says in Amos chapter 3 and verse number 3, how can two walk together except they be agreed? Can I say there are some things that we just believe and hold to and practice here at Granite State Baptist Church? If there's other churches around, you know something, we won't be getting together with them and fellowshipping. But our relationship with God has to be more important than our relationship with everybody else. I was thinking about that as Miss Tracy was just singing, and when she got down to that chorus, and Jess and I know that the note was held out there to be able to emphasize in that chorus of, oh, how I love Him. Oh, how I adore Him. And I thought over and over, God, if we'd get to the point that we would love walking with You more than we love walking with this world. Because the Bible says in 1 John, but if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, guess what? We have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all sin. We're not going to be able to have a relationship with everybody under the sun if we're going to be walking with God. Value His relationship. You say, oh, I'd rather walk with Jesus than anybody else. I know a lot of the old-timers, and I'll just throw myself into this category at this moment here. I love the song, In the Garden. I love just singing about that, about, listen, you know it says in there, I come to the garden alone. And you try walking with God biblically, scripturally today, and saying, I'm going to walk with Him, and I value my relationship with God more than any other relationship on the face of this earth. Listen, you may be going into the garden alone from time to time. Now, I am thankful for those that will come alongside. And brother, they understand that. They cherish that and saying, you know something? Man, our relationship, we've got to walk with God. And you're able to come arm in arm with them in our relationship with our Savior. I say our walk with God ought to be of utmost importance, and we ought to allow nothing to be able to come in between our walk with God and the importance that we carry in our everyday life. Nothing whatsoever. Can I say there ought not to be any relationships in our lives that are hindering our walk with God? There ought not to be. I'm going to deal with this probably in about the next 3 or 4 weeks, some things that God's put upon our heart. I'll make mention of it at the close of the service this morning. But just dealing with some biblical things that need to be laid out in our lives. But of utmost importance is, listen, there ought to be no hindrance whatsoever of any fashion, of any person, that would hinder my relationship with God. We ought to value that more than anything else. You say, well, I've been looking for a reason to cut that person out of my life. Don't blame it on me if you're allowing something else to hinder your walk with God. There ought to be nothing more important. Walking with our Savior, saying, Lord, I want you more than anything else in this world. Joshua said, listen, coming down to the end of my life, that old preacher that just lost his wife a week and a half ago hugged my neck. He said, walk with God. Nothing more important, is there? Walk with God. We have to accept the direction that He's going. We have to value our relationship with Him more than any other relationship we have. But then can I go here this morning? Why we should walk with Him? I just want to say because of the holiness of His presence being with us. Now the holiness of His presence, now don't get nervous. There was Bible holiness before there was ever a holiness movement. There was Bible holiness before the Charismatics and the Pentecostals ever came along. Bible holiness. It started all the way back. You remember in Genesis chapter number 3, you have the fall of man. Adam and Eve. Eve was deceived. Adam walked into the transgression with his eyes wide open. Bible says later that day, here comes the Lord. Genesis chapter number 3, down around verse number 8. I'll just read it to you. Genesis chapter number 3, and verse number 8, the Bible says, and they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves. And I say not from the word of the Lord, hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. The holiness of God as we walk with Him. Listen, you cannot draw close to God and close to the world at the same time. You cannot experience the holiness of God in your life and experience the wickedness of sin and enjoy that at the same time. One is going to contradict the other one. And one of them will grow stronger than the other one. If you get close to the holiness of God, the effects of sin and the enjoyment of sin in our lives will get less and less. Can I say this? As soon as there's sin in our lives, just like Adam and Eve, as soon as the presence of God shows up, all of a sudden we're trying to hide ourselves. We're saying, hey, I don't want to be around that. I'll just go get amongst the trees because the presence of God is real. And just the very presence of God that was made known through the Word of God was convicting to their hearts. Now be careful when you start wishing and saying, I want the greatest walk with God that I've ever had before. There may be some things you need to separate yourself from. There may be some relationships that you need to say, I can't be around those anymore because they're not causing holiness in my life. And if I want to walk with God, that means I'm not walking with everybody else. And the holiness of God. Look what he said in Romans chapter number 8. I believe the New Testament equivalent of what we see as far as walking with God. You have Noah who walked with God. You have Enoch who walked with God. You have Joshua telling the children of Israel, Reuben, Gad, half the tribe of Manasseh, walk in His commandments, walk with God in all His ways. I believe the wording of it in the New Testament would be walking in the Spirit and not fulfilling the lust of the flesh. We have the command in His way that was given in the Old Testament. We have the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit of God that's given in the New Testament. And He said in verse number 4, He said that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Now understand, He didn't say in verse number 4 that the law might be fulfilled in you. He said that the righteousness of the law, that's holy living. Because we're walking in the Spirit, we're walking with God, we're not walking after the flesh. And the holiness and the presence of God being real in our lives. I know everybody gets on the South for being so emotional and saying, They'll wave a hanky or they'll say amen or stand up and raise their hand. I've seen all of that take place. And I say, I heard of some meetings taking place this week, that old time preacher. We walked into that church, Bible Way Baptist Church, Kingsport, Tennessee. They got a great pastor. It's not like it was 20 years ago. Brother Charles Long walked up to me and he said, Brother Peter, he said, when I tell you about some meetings, he said, that took place. He said, we weren't swinging from the chandeliers. They weren't running around hooting and hollering. It wasn't none of that, what we call Southern emotion. He said, you could have heard a pin drop. And he said, the holiness of God in His presence was so real. He said, we just sat there, just quiet. Boy, God was working upon hearts. He said, and all of a sudden you'd hear someone cry, I need to be saved. And they'd get up and they'd walk down to the aisle and they'd trust Christ as their Savior. He said, someone else would get right with a brother or sister in Christ. Now we're talking about the holiness of His presence. We're talking about God being so real. But listen, if we're not walking with God, we're not walking in the Spirit. If we're just fulfilling the lust of the flesh, and this is what I want, and God, if you want to, then just come along with me. That is not how our relationship with God works. It is not God, come with me. It is me saying, God, I want to go where You're blessing, and I'm along with You. And His presence being so holy in our lives. I just heard of it taking place with a group of teenagers down in Georgia last summer. He said, honestly, he said, they sat there quiet. Now, you know this has to be God. He said, they sat there quiet, just waiting on God for over an hour. He said, no one would get up and preach. The preaching had already been done. He said, there were young people that would find their place at the altar, calling out to God for salvation, getting right one with another, getting sin out of their life. He said, if God would speak to them, he said, it wasn't some big show. He said, they'd just slip on down and find their place at the altar. He said, young people on their face before God for over an hour praying. We're so busy with making sure that we're walking with every crowd that's under the sun that we've forgotten about our walk with God. We're making sure we're so busy to be able to fit in with everybody and say, hey, they're going that direction. I want to go that direction. The problem is God's going that way. And we need to accept the direction that God's going and value our relationship with Him more than any other relationship. We need to experience the holiness of His presence. Listen, you start getting closer to God, the things of this world are going to grow dim. You're not going to be able to draw nigh to God and stay close to the world. Some things will have to get out of our lives. You say, but how do I literally walk with God? This is great. We need to do this. Can I say I believe there's just three ways? Number one, spending time in your Bible. That's how you're going to walk with God. Spending time in prayer. It is as simple as that. Can I say this? Be in church. Because at least when you come to church, and I'm not saying it's on Sunday morning, there may be some that are sitting here and you're just checking off your religious duty for the week. You're not walking the same direction as God. But at least on Thursday night when we get together for prayer, they're at least like-minded and we're heading the same direction. And I say I'd rather walk that direction with a group than I would walk alone. And I say very simple, getting in the Scriptures, spending time in prayer, spending time with God's people in church goes a long ways to walking with God and seeing a difference made in our lives. Walking with God. Now, for those that have experienced it, and I don't mind using the word experience, okay? I'm glad there's some things that I've experienced in my life. And for those that know the reality of what it's like to walk with God, of just His presence is so real. I'm not talking in some goofy way, but I'm talking to the very point that before you put a word out of your mouth, the Holy Spirit of God can speak to your heart and say, don't be saying that. That close to the leadership of the Lord in our life. Those that experience know, and listen, we never get satisfied with anything else. Almost to the point of making us angry towards everybody else that doesn't have that and doesn't desire that. And all we can say is, listen, let's just keep walking that direction and maybe they'll come along with us and we can walk with God together. And I say there's some here this morning you've never even experienced and don't know what a walk with God is. It starts with salvation. It starts with you got to start going in the same direction. You got to view your sin the same way that God views sin. Can I say God's view of sin put His only begotten Son on the cross to pay for your sin and pay for my sin? It disgusts Him. And He paid for it. Listen, it separates us from God. And Jesus died so that we could be reconciled to Christ. That's why He died. And you want to walk with God. You try it through religion. You try it through your good works. You try it through everything you can do. I'm just trying to get a relationship with God. It starts by accepting Him as your personal Lord and Savior. And can I say this? Once you accept Him, it is the greatest journey that you'll ever be on. I'm not saying it's the greatest road. I was on a lot of roads this week. I didn't enjoy any one of them, but I love the journey of a Christian life. Is it all a bed of roses? No. Because you know something? There's sometimes God may take us a direction. I'm saying God, the only reason I'm going this direction is because I'm following You. And if I had to choose it, I wouldn't be walking that path. And we know that. It's so much better walking with God than it is walking away from Him. If you're here today and you're not saved and you're not a child of God, can I say this, get that settled today. If you're here today and you're not walking with God the way that you should, in your Bible, in your Scripture, in your prayer time, in your church time with fellow believers heading the same road, walking with God, then just get back on. Start walking with Him. That's the joy. If you haven't been walking with Him, you can start right back today. Say, God, I need to be walking with You. And forsake and confess all those things that caused you to stop walking with Him. Get back into right relationship and say, God, I'm walking with You from this point forward. Walk with Him. But take diligent heed to do the commandment and the law which Moses, the servant of the Lord, charged you, to love the Lord your God and to walk in all His ways, and to keep His commandments, and to cleave unto Him, and to serve Him with all your heart and with all your soul. How is your walking with God today? Does it need to get better? Then get better. Is it non-existent? Then start it today. Would you stand with your heads bowed and eyes closed?